ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam.
It's only a pen. My pen. Do you remember that? It was from the show with What? Shadowy Kids in the Shadowy Planet was the theme song.
Yeah, Kids in the Hall. Right.
There was an episode where one of them, I think it was Foley, Dave Foley,
yeah,
had a pen that he loved.
Yes.
And somebody took his pen and it was hurting him and he was just calling after it, going, "My pen!
Oh, I don't remember
my
that.
My pen!"
But I just lived it here in the studio. You're missing yours, and you think Jasmine, our producer, stole it, and she didn't.
I do.
Why would Jasmine steal your
engineer
pen?
Engineer Bob must have taken it.
He wouldn't.
It was right here.
These are two of the most trustworthy people I've ever worked with. They wouldn't steal it.
Last time I saw it, it was in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be in Chris Duffy's studio, like both of you suggested.
Could be in there.
Correct.
Yeah. Send out a search team.
It's not really that big of a deal other than there. How come there isn't a can with pens here? Are there pens over there?
Nope. People would steal them.
But, I mean, my
it's
God.
It's a high theft area that we work in.
Can't there be a can of pens?
You would think. A lot of businesses have that. But everything's different now, Wendy. The world is a different place than when you grew up.
All right, Jasmine's bringing me a
pen.
I bet
pen.
It is in Duffy's studio.
Probably.
I'm sorry, guys.
You want to be surrounded by things you need and you're comfortable with. Who knows, during the show, you may be asked to fill out a survey. Somebody may come in and ask you what sort of soap you use. You want to have a pen ready.
I only use Tone. T-O-N-E.
Is that true?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's very cocoa butter, buttery
flavored. Of course
flavored,
it is. Of
or scented,
is.
I should say.
Yes.
All right, I have. You've left us in suspense, but you're waiting for Kim Gordon
to
come in.
I have to wait for
Kim
Gordon. Yesterday, we were talking about the John F. Kennedy assassination and various theories about the John F. Kennedy assassination, and I said that there is a celebrity, somebody who's very, very famous right now, who many believe could be the gunman in the Kennedy assassination, and he himself said that he did it at some point. He then went back and said that he didn't, but there was a time where he told police that he was the guy.
I thought it was a relative of a current celebrity.
It's the father of a current celebrity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's his dad.
All right, I can't stand this.
Later on after Kim's news, I will divulge who it is. But I've mentioned it on the show before. And once I tell you, I have a feeling you'll go, "Oh, yeah, you've said that. You've told us that before."
I think you have. I can't remember who it is.
Yeah.
And we love when you keep people in suspense.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Except for me, I don't like it.
You've been good. You've waited a day. Now, just so everybody knows, off the air, as soon as the show was over yesterday, when I was ready to divulge it and we ran out of time, when the show was over, Kim Gordon immediately said, "I can't wait a day. You must tell me who it is." But I said, "No, it's not fair. It's not fair to anybody."
It isn't. And it's
I'll tell you today.
We could have looked it up.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I forgot. Otherwise, I would.
You could have looked it up.
Your suspense was not lost on me.
No, I know.
I just forgot about it.
That's fine.
But boy, it makes it exciting to come to work.
Sure it does.
I found something on the internet, you know, the old internet. This isn't on the dark web, by the way.
Oh, it's not.
No, because this is meant to help you.
Oh.
Some guy wrote an article about some habits, daily habits my dad insists will make you happier and more successful.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is. He's not a scientist or a behavioral therapist or anything. He's just a dude who said, "My dad has told me these daily habits that I should do and I'll be more successful and happier."
I wonder if most of us have similar stories where your parents, they tell you these little things that at the time you say to yourself, "Well, what does he know?" But then later on in life you go, "Well, maybe my dad was right."
Do you ever tell that to your dad, though?
No, you can't
see,
tell your dad that.
That's not fair.
You cannot tell your dad that. I'm trying to think if my dad has told me any.
Actually, your dad had some good advice for you.
And this is very serious, especially in today's climate. My dad explained to me once, we were driving along. My dad was driving, and I was in the back seat, and we were driving through an area that was not near our home, and my dad got some car trouble and the car started making a noise and then was doing that thing. I'm sure you've had this where you're driving your car and maybe you'll get the noise, maybe you won't get the noise, but the car just starts kind of vibrating and it doesn't move smoothly anymore. It just kind of
bounces and shakes.
And you, if you're driving your car, you go, this is not good.
You go, this is not good.
Well, if Katharine Hepburn's driving with you, you say,
she would sound normal right. in that situation.
You better go and get this looked at because this isn't. So my dad realized we better get this fixed soon.
So he drove
a couple of blocks and there was a service station. And we went in and we were the only white people there. And I didn't really think about it. Why would I have? I was like 4 years old. They fixed us up. We were gone an hour and a half later, whatever it was they fixed. And my dad said, you know, a lot of people would have been nervous in the situation we were just in because we look different from the people who were there at the shop. But as you noticed, they were very nice to us and they helped us out and everybody was very friendly and that's the way it should be. And I was just, like I said, I was a very little kid and I never gave it any thought.
Yeah.
But I thought, wow, yeah, that is the way it should be. Why would anyone treat anyone different
right.
just because the color of their skin is different? And as it turned out, later on in life, I saw plenty of instances with various people where they were not nice to each other because of the color of their skin. But that day had such an impression on me that even though I was really little,
it still set
the tone forever. So you can't treat people differently because they look different than you.
What's your dad's number? Let's call him and you can thank him.
He does not know I'm on the radio. He thinks I work for a seed company.
Seed? You and Tony Fulmer
are in cahoots. Tony and I are in business together at the seed company. The one in the back of the comic books.
Oh,
where
yeah.
I can win a slot car racing set if I sell
awesome.
Enough seeds. So.
Well, you should tell him someday because that's a really nice story.
Oh, I've told him.
Yeah.
And it's so weird.
He doesn't remember,
he doesn't remember any of it. And I think I told you this once. This is one of the weirdest things that's ever happened. When Terry and I got married, our honeymoon was in England, and that plane ride to England is a long plane ride. And I thought to myself on the plane ride, how am I going to kill all those hours? And then I thought, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a thank you letter to my parents. Right? So I actually, to be fair, I wrote it on the way back, right? So I wrote this thank you letter, which was 100 happy memories that they provided.
You're going to make me cry.
Well, I wasn't doing it to make anybody cry, but I thought, will I ever have this chance again to say, hey, you've really influenced me in so many ways. So here's 100 things, 100 memories of mine that you're responsible for. And that ate up the whole flight. We started as soon as we got on the plane. And then when we landed, I was at number 98 or 99. The timing was perfect.
Was Terry helping you?
No, she slept through most of the flight.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because this is your honeymoon. One would think you'd be canoodling.
She was worn out by that point.
God,
she
help
was so worn
us
out.
All.
So she slept on the flight and then for the next 3 days when
good.
We landed.
All right,
she was
whatever.
She's still sleeping. She's at the house sleeping now. So
was fabricating stories one of the 100 things?
So I got home, and then the next time we saw them, like a week later, we went out to dinner, and I presented them with this. It was in a binder. It was, you know, it was 17, 18 pages of 100 happy memories. So they took it with them. I didn't want them to read it in front of me. There's no reason for that. So then a couple days later, I talked to my mom and I said, hey, just curious, what did you think of the note of the letter? And there's a long silence. And she goes, yeah, your dad and I read it. And I go, but? Because I thought there was bad news coming. Yeah, because she just left it open. She goes, between the two of us, we only remembered 42 of them. Out of 100, like the happiest memories of my life involving them and my family, and they remembered 42% of them.
Yeah, but what was happy to you might not have been what was happy to them,
so it didn't stick
in their memory.
That's what I thought. But like, still, I thought, wouldn't you have thought out of 100, you'd probably get 80, 85.
One would think.
Not 42. That's disappointing.
Did you thank her for leaving all different containers of candy all over your kitchen counter?
No, that's just built in. We're thankful for that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is some guy who just wants to, his dad gave him these daily habits, and he insists that it'll make your life happier and make you more successful. Carpe diem, you know, this is Latin for seize the day. Yeah,
sure.
We all know that. It's the first daily habit on my dad's list. No matter how yesterday went, whether you had great triumphs or whether you wish you'd spend the whole day in bed, remember that every new day is a new opportunity.
it's too bad we don't think about that, but yeah. You have a chance to do whatever you want on any given day.
You can't rest on yesterday's accomplishments, and you never have to repeat yesterday's mistakes.
I will tell Joe Madden that when I see him.
You're hurtful.
It's true.
There's
the guy who won the Cubs World Series, and now he's being shown the door.
Is he for sure gone?
It's like inevitable. It couldn't be more inevitable.
But
I thought about that with
fault?
Joel Quenneville, too. It's like,
yeah.
when you do something that amazing, you go, you should probably have a job for life, right? But no.
Well, for life, if you keep winning, one and done is not enough. The Blackhawks are different.
Well, it shows, you know, the axiom, what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like that in sports. It's like that in every aspect of life, is that no matter what you've achieved, people go, well, that was great that you did that, but I better see more.
Right.
I got to see more. Neil Armstrong, what other planet are you going to go to? Just the moon? That's all you got for me?
But that's true, that you wake up every day and you have a new experience, because when you think about it, anxiety is worrying about what's to come.
True.
Depression is worrying about what's already happened.
Yep.
So if you can grasp each day as it comes and live it to the fullest that day,
do it.
It would reduce your stress, but it's really hard to do.
Do you ever do this? I do this constantly. I in my head, I have 3 or 5 or 10 things to look forward to. What am I doing? This is Wednesday. What have I got coming up on Friday or Saturday? Hey,
yeah.
That's something to look forward to. I'm going to go out with those guys on Saturday. That's going to be fun. I'm playing tennis Sunday after. That's going to be great. So I always have these things. There's never a time where I don't have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things to look forward to.
You are like the human, like the adult toddler.
Yeah.
You really are.
Thank you.
Because it's like, you know, you need the dangling carrot at
yes.
the end. Like, here's what we're
You're
working
right.
for.
And Jasmine, is my binky in there? Do you know?
Yes, right on the side.
Would you bring that in when you get a chance?
It is a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
need to have something to look forward
Always.
To.
Always. Always.
All right. So, carpe diem. Here's another one. Spend as much time as you can with the people you love.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Your spouse, your kids, your parents, your close friends, whoever they are, make sure that you find lots of time to spend time with the people you truly care about. If you want to feel really guilty about this, check out, oh, there's a calculator at seeyourfolks.com, how often you see them.
Oh.
But it calculates how many more times you're likely to see your parents based on past experiences
oh.
and life expectancy.
So how many more times you'll probably see them between now and... And the end?
Yeah.
Oh, that's depressing.
Because they have to say, where do your parents live? United States. Now this is ADHD at its
that's
finest.
That's sad.
The never-ending rabbit hole of links that you keep clicking on, and 7 hours later, you're like, I'm still on the computer? So where do your parents live, United States? On average, how many times do you see your parents a year? I don't have parents. Do you want to play this or no?
Well, this is tricky because I honestly don't think that there is an average. I mean, I guess mathematically there has to be, but there are times, even like within the course of a year, there's times where I'll see my dad several times in a week, and then I won't see him for a couple of months, you know? It's the way things work
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I guess. But you need to say how many times a year do you see your parents? How old is your mom? How old is your dad? And then it shows your results.
Of how many times you'll see them before
they die.
Wow. That's so sad.
Here, I'm just going to make it up. How many times do you see your parents a year? Once a month would be 12. Give like bonus 4.
Yeah.
Let's say 16 times. How old is your mom? I'll do it. 69. That's when she died. So that means I would see her only 160 times before she is expected to die.
Oh.
Boy, do this calculator, people, and it's going to cause you to see your folks. Seeyourfolks.com.
Who's behind this? My own dad?
Did my dad
invent this?
I don't know.
From guilttrip.com.
Why are we doing this?
It's from guilttripadvisor.com.
Why are we doing this? We believe that increasing awareness of death can help us to make the most of our lives. The right kind of reminders can help us focus on what matters and perhaps what makes us better people.
But you could put that in about anybody. You could put that in about the person you're married to or about your best friend or your neighbor. Calculate the depth of the net.
All right, here, let's do it for me and Jim.
All right.
But that's
stupid.
This is
how many more times you'll see Jim before one of you dies? That's so sick. You don't want to know that, do
you?
All
right, well, how many times a year do you see your husband? 365.
You see him every day.
Yeah, I mean, there might be
sometimes
when he's out of, I'll say 360.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he's out of town.
Skywalker Ranch.
That's true.
He is.
How old is he? 50.
Ageless and priceless.
And that I'm going to see Jim 10,440 more times before one of us dies.
I'm taking the under. I'm definitely betting the under.
Kim Gordon has just joined us. This is seeyourfolks.com, and they're trying to figure out you should see your parents as much as possible because when you put it into numbers, there's only so many times you're going to see them. If you only see your parents once a year and they're already 75, there may be like 10 more times you see them before they die.
That's Don't you think that's a sad calculator?
Very.
That's the saddest calculator.
Yeah, but maybe
calculator.
it will cause you to reach out to your parents more.
Like other calculators, Wendy, is there a number you can type in that when you turn it upside down, it says Shell Oil? Because that gets me every time.
And boob.
That one's even better.
I always thought it was boobless.
Oh, yeah, you can do boobless.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hello.
Yeah.
And Shell Oil was the big one.
Yeah.
Who cares about Shell Oil? I mean, really, that's all we, that was our entertainment. That was our iPhone.
I still remember
a calculator.
The day, one of my dad's friends, we were at a restaurant. We were all waiting for our food to come. And it was the four of us, my parents, my brother and I, and then my dad's friend and his wife. So he goes, hey, did you hear about the company that made this much money one year? And there's this big, long number. And my brother and I are like, what? No, we don't know what you're talking about. What company made that much money? And then he turns over his calculator, Shell Oil. And then he holds his hands up like, huh?
Da,
my brother,
da, 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 da.
my brother and I, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why would you even do that?
Well, we were talking, this guy put together a blog about what his dad, advice his father has given him to make him happy and successful. One was seize the day, live for today. If you have yesterday's mistakes, so what? Tomorrow's a new day.
Yes.
Spend as much time as you can with the people that you love. That's number two. Number three, at the same time, love the ones you're with. Thank you, Stephen Stills.
Dun, 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 dun. Wouldn't you also say conversely, based on the one of spend more time with the people you love, isn't it better for you to not spend time with the people you don't love? Do you know what I mean by that? You know how there's some people in your life that give you
a agita?
Yeah. So you go, I'm sure you've been at events where you go, why do I hang out? I know that guy's my cousin, my uncle. Why would I hang out with that guy? All he does is aggravate me.
Well, I think they're saying that with here. Maybe not. Yes, that should be an
added
inverse.
Right?
At the same time, love the ones you're with. There are many different kinds of love. And here my dad is talking about showing respect and concern for the people you spend your days with. That is simply love everyone, is how my dad put it. And he added a quote from Thomas Merton. Where is it, Mertone? Love
Merton.
Is
Merton.
Love is
for
our
certain.
Thank you, Lynn Burton.
You're welcome.
Love is our true destiny. We do not find the meaning of life by ourselves alone. We find it with another.
No,
that's nice.
That's profound.
Work hard. That's great advice.
It's not for me.
Here's what it says. You can't always determine what you get out of something, but you can often control what you put into it. When I was growing up, I'd be anxious over some school assignments or other projects. My dad would usually ask me the same question afterward. Did you give it your best shot? If you did, then forget about it.
That's good news. Right there.
Just give it your best.
Do the best you can. You can't do better than your best.
At the end of the day, go home. This one seems simple until you start to realize how most of us are almost 100% on and accessible all the time now. Now, I'm not going to pretend that either my dad or I truly live up to this advice, but it's a good goal. At the end of the day, go home.
Mm-hmm.
Unplug.
Mm-hmm.
Just go home. We can't.
It's your time.
No, you can't do it anymore.
I can't do it.
Here's the other question, though. How do you really know, like, how can you say you gave it your best? Because people are like, oh, I gave it my best. But deep inside, maybe you didn't really give it your best.
But you know if you did.
Don't you think you know, Kim? I always know.
I know. Today I phoned it in. I did not work very hard today.
You know, but the thing is, when you tell your kids give it their best, like, it's hard to say for sure whether
you have to trust them at that point.
Yeah, you do.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But when looking at yourself internally, you know, even if you don't know about your kids, you know if you've given your absolute best to anything you do, don't you?
Right, but then people, I think, lie about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I guess you have to live with yourself.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, if you say that time and time again, eventually they'll learn, you know, okay, I got a D on this project, but man, I worked so hard on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the D still stings, but you know, there's nothing else I could have done to make it better.
Right.
If you get a D and go, boy, I put no effort into this, maybe next time you would say, ah, if I put a little more in, maybe I'll get a C or B.
Yeah, true. True.
So I think that has to be self-judgment,
right.
You know?
Right.
the other one, at the end of the day, go home, then later, go to bed. Get the rest you need. Your body needs sleep, not just rest and relaxation for it to work well. My dad insists this. He's right, of course, and it's even become fashionable to admit that people need sleep. You do need sleep. You only get, what, like five?
I get 5 hours a day.
That's not enough. That's You're going to start falling apart. Your limbs will fall off.
No, it's true. I know it's true.
And it causes more anxiety.
Yeah.
Do you just have problems sleeping or you
I just don't like to sleep.
God, I love to sleep. I love to sleep. It's just so comfy getting in your bed.
Yeah.
I don't, I usually go to bed between midnight and one and I'm up at 6:30 every day. So yeah. I don't get much more than you, but
I'm
I do take a nap.
2 to 7, which is not enough. I know it's not enough. I've had so many sleep experts go, that's not good for you.
Your body needs to reboot.
Right. Right.
I mean, your brain needs to, like, shut down for a while.
Yeah.
Get some exercise. My dad's sport is swimming, and while he came to it late in life, my dad has the zeal of a convert. A few years ago, he did a half-mile open water swim. We don't care about that, but regardless of what sport or activity works for you, my dad says your day will be improved if you do something athletic, and science backs him up.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Have a little faith. As a lawyer, the kind of lawyer who takes on real clients and tries real cases in court, Dad has pretty much seen it all. He also has stronger religious Catholic faith than most people I know, perhaps in part because he's had his faith tested in many ways. It helps immensely if you believe in something bigger than yourself. Not telling you what.
That's interesting, because I am of little faith, but I have friends who have had catastrophic things happen to them, and I always say to them, how do you get through that? And they go, well, it's just... it's believing, it's faith. And I just go, wow, I'm glad it happened to you then, because I would have melted under those circumstances.
I have a lot of faith. I do.
Yeah.
Learn another language is the final one. Actually,
Dios
we
mio.
Have more. Oh, very good. Ooh la la. It's just good. My dad's...
E pluris unum.
Whether you're literally learning another language or simply learning how to do new things and to challenge your preconceptions, the lesson is clear. Keep learning.
Yeah.
These are good. We have more of these if you want to go into them.
Yeah.
This is What's Hot and What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. We'll check in with Kim's news next on WGN.
Kim, before this half hour is over, I will divulge, if people will remember yesterday at this time.
Yes, I'm dying to know.
We were talking about the Kennedy assassination and possible conspiracy theories surrounding his assassination. And I talked about a guy named Bob Harris, who I used to work with when I did stand-up. He was also a stand-up comedian. But his career shifted in that he would then, after his role as a comedian, he became a researcher about the Kennedy assassination. And he would go to schools and various functions and speak and show films about the Kennedy assassination. We've tried to get him. We've tried to get Bob Harris. But Jasmine,
the internet says he doesn't exist after 1994.
I found some 2003, I think. 2003.
The last entry I see with anything about him was 2008 or 2009. So if you were a guy who knew a lot about the Kennedy assassination,
I would go into hiding.
On his own volition, or did somebody
off him?
Did somebody steal him? I don't know where he is.
That's a very interesting point.
Do you have friends who are friends with him that you can kind of go that
route? I'm trying to think of who I would know that would have kept in touch with him. But it's really funny because he was very high profile for quite a while, and then it looks like he just dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
There's nothing about him after 2008 or 2009. It's
we
very
all
Google peculiar.
Searched like crazy,
yes.
And it is kind of suspect.
Because he was very easy to reach until then, and then all of a sudden, there's no sign of him.
And the 2008 or whatever was just like a mention of his stuff.
Right.
It wasn't even like
he
him.
Wasn't showing up somewhere. Yeah.
Did you check and see if he had a Facebook page?
Oh,
this
yeah.
This would have been prior
everywhere.
To Facebook, I think, right?
Well, yeah, but he could have one now. I mean, but that would have popped up.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Seriously, it's very weird. We'll get to that. Let me fly through these just because I feel like I started this. These are a father's advice to a son on how to succeed in life. Read every day. And
that's good advice.
Nothing to do with your work. Just read something different.
Right.
That's good advice. Keep your wardrobe simple. Bill, I thought
not
of you.
Not a problem at all.
My dad gave me this advice years ago when I first started working, so of course I completely ignored it at the time. However, had I gone ahead as he'd suggested and bought a handful of white and blue shirts, for example, and worn them every day, it would have been one fewer decision to have to make in the morning. It looks like that kind of simplification worked for Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg anyway. So just keep
That's
it simple.
True.
Shine your shoes. Shine shoes make you stand out. I know that
you
guy
know
tried.
You know where a good shoe shine is, Bill.
Yes, I do.
But
yes,
I'll tell
I
you,
do.
If you see a guy in like, and Kim, you, I'm sure you agree with me here. You see a guy dressed to the hilt in this great suit, and you look down at his shoes. If they're scuffy, if they're curved up, meaning they're just kind of old, ruins the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's true.
So
tell
the people you love that you love them. We're back to love. Don't just spend time with people you love, is advised back in number two. Make sure you actually tell them that you love them. For example, when I talk to my dad, he will tell me to tell my wife that he loves her unnecessarily, but amusingly. He'll add that I should be sure to mention that he means he loves her appropriately.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, tell people you love that you love them. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like to tell people who are relative strangers that I love them. Just to
I've
get
heard
the
you on the phone where you hang up and you're just, we're all in the habit of saying love you goodbye. I've heard you.
I do it, Kim, with service people. Like I'll have to call in like a payment for, you know, for a home loan or something like that. And when the transaction is over, I will say, thank you so much. I love you. And then you hear like this awkward, I love you too. Like they have no idea what to say to that.
I know. Don't worry. This is do as I say, not as I do, because it's really hard when someone says, don't worry.
Yeah.
Especially if you worry about everything like I do.
Yeah, me too.
But worrying, this is something really to think about, Kim. Worrying rarely improves the odds of good things happening and can actually diminish those odds. It's like you're wasting effort worrying, but again, tell my psyche that.
Yeah. Because it's out of your control.
Right.
What good is worrying about it going to do?
Yeah, but it's hard not to worry if you're a worry wart.
Right, of course.
Be kind to animals. That's just, you just got to be kind to all things. Find good assistance. For many years, my father had the same excellent secretary. He taught me long ago that even during the times when you're working by yourself, you have to be willing to depend on others for help. So find someone you can trust. And the last one is repeat as needed.
Oh.
So these are pretty good.
Those are, every one of those is solid. There's
I
not
know.
One in there that I'd go, no, that's ridiculous.
And it's, sometimes it's things, it seems very self-explanatory, but we take it for granted or we don't think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, just those are ways to succeed. If you missed them, you can listen to the podcast at WGNradio.com. Now on to Bill's suspense.
And I didn't even cheat. I didn't Google.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of both of you because I know
I
this
forgot.
Was hanging during our conversation yesterday about John F. Kennedy, and I don't even know how it started. Do you remember how it started, Wendy? I have no idea why we started talking about the assassination of John F. Kennedy, but it came up, and then the side product of that was the various conspiracy theories, and then I mentioned Bob Harris and the mysterious laws of Bob Harris, which now I'm really worried about.
You were talking about, I remember how it came up, because you were talking about how Jackie Onassis was going to say something like 25 years after
and
he died, and then she didn't.
Yeah.
I think that's how it came
up. Is it because we were talking to the conspiracy theorist from Stranger Things?
We were talking about a conspiracy theory. I remember that.
And that's what opened up the Kennedy?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Go back and listen to the podcast.
Oh,
we're
all right.
Pretty good. We have a good thing going.
I got to hear it. All right. So regardless of how it started, that's kind of what came up. And then I said, hey, do you remember the guy that several people said was probably, if it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald, it was probably this guy and his son is famous. And then I looked at the clock and we only had 11 seconds left in the show. So I said, I can't do it now. We'll talk about it tomorrow. So here it is tomorrow. Here's the story of a man named Charles Harrison. So a lot of people believe, conspiracy theorists believe, that if it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald, who would the guy have been? If you wanted to assassinate the president, who would the gunman have been who had experience in this sort of thing and who had an eagle eye, was able to shoot at something from a distance. And the guy whose name comes up over and over and over again is a guy named Charles Harrison, who admitted later on that he was the man who killed Kennedy. He later pulled back on it and said, no, I was high on cocaine the day that I admitted it. I didn't kill Kennedy. But a lot of people go, or did he? Because the proof is there. Charles Void Harrelson, born July 23rd, 1938, died March 15th, 2007, is the father of Woody Harrelson.
I thought you said Harrison the first few
Harrelson.
Times.
Okay. Harrelson. He was, according to Wikipedia, an American organized crime figure who was convicted of assassinating a federal judge, a man named John H. Wood Jr., the first federal judge to have been killed during the 20th century. He is also, as I mentioned, the father of Woody Harrelson. Now, I'll get to the part where they talk specifically about the John F. Kennedy assassination.
Is he still alive?
No, he died several years ago. He died in 1980. I'm sorry, 1989.
Isn't it weird that Woody was in Natural Born Killers?
Well, it's funny you say that, because when he made that movie, his only reputation was light comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He was Woody Boyd on Cheers. He did a couple of other roles, and it was all fun stuff. And they said to Oliver Stone, why would you have even thought of Woody Harrelson for this role? And Oliver Stone said something along the lines of, I don't know, he kind of has it in his blood, and no one knew what that meant.
Wow.
You know?
But referring to his dad.
Yeah.
He was, Woody Harrelson was, it's a very disturbing movie, but it's good. I liked it. He was great in that.
Yes.
So was Juliette Lewis.
Yeah, both very convincing in their roles, right? All right, so here's the story about this guy, Charles Harrelson. In September of 1980, Harrelson surrendered to police after a six-hour standoff in which he reportedly was high on cocaine. During the standoff, he threatened suicide, stating that he had killed both Judge Wood, which he did, that's been proven, and President John F. Kennedy.
How far after the Kennedy assassination was this statement?
Well, this was in September of 1980. So
Kennedy
died
time.
November of 63.
That's
so
when he
17
first
years.
Said, I killed Kennedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In a television interview after his arrest, Harrelson said, at the same time I had said that I had killed the judge, I also said that I had killed John F. Kennedy, which might give you the idea and the state of my mind at the time. He said that the statements made during that standoff were just an effort to elongate his life. So his figuring was, if I throw that out there, they'll really look into it. They won't give me the death penalty. They'll be trying to prove whether or not I killed Kennedy or not, and that could keep me alive longer.
That makes sense. Boy, smart guy on cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
Driving that train.
Joseph Shagra later testified during Harrelson's trial that Harrelson claimed to have shot Kennedy and had also drawn maps to show where he was hiding during the assassination. Shagra said that he did not believe that Harrelson's claim, and that the AP rejected the FBI, apparently discounted any involvement by Harrelson in the Kennedy assassination. According to Jim Mars, in 1989's Crossfire, Harrelson is believed to be the youngest and the tallest of the three tramps by many conspiracy theorists. Now that I'm gray on. They don't go into great detail, but that was a theory that kind of arose from the fact that even if Lee Harvey Oswald was in on it, there was at least two other guys and probably three that helped engineer and mastermind the assassination.
Mm-hmm. The three tramps are three men photographed by several Dallas area newspapers under police escort near the Texas School Book Depository shortly after the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
But the question was always there exactly what their involvement was in it. So they're trying to figure out, and the pictures at the time, if you've ever seen pictures of that day in Dallas, everything is very grainy.
Yeah.
The photography wasn't up to snuff as to what we know today. So everything you see.
Oh, today there would be no question. You know,
you'd
there's
be able
surveillance
to tell.
Cameras everywhere.
Right, right, right.
You'd be able to zoom in on immediately.
So I've heard several people say that if you needed a guy, if somebody said, hey, we need this job done, it's John F. Kennedy, we can't mess this up, we've got to get a guy who's a sure shot and has some background in this sort of thing, Harrelson would have been the guy you would have gone to. That it wouldn't make sense to go to anybody else. He was the guy, you know? And then after he comes out and says he did it, then anybody who was kind of questioning it goes, he even admitted that he did it. He later went back, of course, and redacted it, but at some point he said he did it.
And Woody Harrelson talk much about this?
No, not much. I don't know that he's ever talked about it.
God, I'd be telling anyone who'd listen. You know what my dad did?
When you see pictures of Charles, it's so eerie because the face is exactly the same. He's got kind of not really bushy dark hair, but he's got quite a bit of dark hair, and Woody's been bald for years. So there's the difference. But when you see his face, it's
identical.
It's Woody's face. Yeah, it's really close.
I don't know why, but when I would have never suspected Woody Harrelson. For some reason, when you said celebrity, there were two that popped into my head.
Who were the two? I'm curious.
Clint Eastwood. Yeah.
Well, his dad, right?
Yeah, like okay. Maybe there was some, like, you said he was a relative.
Didn't Clint Eastwood play,
Dirty
wasn't
Harry.
There a movie where Clint Eastwood was on security detail during the Kennedy assassination? Am I imagining that? I thought there was some movie where they superimposed, like they yelled him up.
Was that the one about the Zapruder films?
Maybe. But I thought he was on Kennedy security detail in some movie, so that would have been even weirder if his dad was involved.
Oh, yeah.
Right? All right, so who's the other one?
Harrison Ford.
Really? Why Harrison Ford?
In the Line of Fire.
In the Line of Fire.
Yes, that was a great movie.
That's the movie.
I don't know why. That was just when you said it, and I thought about it, just those two popped
is
into my head.
Is it because Harrison Ford has the names, his first and last name are those of presidents?
Maybe.
That's why. He's the only guy I can think of whose first and last name is a president's name.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, Lincoln. And who was
and
the
who else?
Who was it? It was Lincoln and Kennedy, wasn't it? That they had the same, they had a
bunch of similarities. Yeah.
Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy.
Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yes. Did Lincoln do it?
No, Abe Lincoln has an alibi, Wendy. a lot of people ask that question, though.
And it has been confirmed.
Right. He definitely has an alibi.
I forgot about all the three tramps. It's so weird to just Google the JFK assassination and all the stuff that pops up. I would really love to talk to Robert Harris.
I'll keep looking.
It's not going to just show up.
It's the strangest thing in the world that... A guy, I mean, with the internet being the way it is, you can always
hopefully
find
he's
a trail.
WGN listener. And, you know,
that'd
he's
be nice.
Well, maybe
the
someone who knows
did,
him.
Yeah. He did live here. I mean, he lived in Chicago for years. So I don't know. We'll try to find him. The thing is, if you go to Facebook and you're looking for a guy named Bob Harris, you're going to get 13 million
exactly.
possibilities. You
and
know,
he could be Bob. He could be Robert.
Right. Right. There's variations on the theme.
I have stuff from 2014. We're getting closer.
Oh. Good news on 2014 or not good news?
No, just Robert Harris offers a closely reasoned answer to a question. And this was posted from May 18th, 2014. We've got to be
able
to find
him. That's a little bit
him.
Closer.
All right, I'm going to look for him.
All right. Well, Kim, we will solve this case.
All right.
Don't you worry.
I expect a
full report on your desk first thing in the morning.
Yes.
Don't worry.
It's funny, though, that you say that, because will it ever be solved to our acceptance?
I wonder.
I don't think so, because especially with the day and with the times we live in now, that things can definitely be resolved pretty much for the most part with surveillance cameras everywhere. I mean,
right.
But look at Jussie Smollett. They have all this video, all these cameras.
And
I mean,
it's still unclear
it's still
exactly
unclear.
What happened. But don't you think, all right, so when a guy now gets to be president, I always assume they let him in on him or her in on the secrets. Like, are there really aliens? Yes or no?
Right.
Who killed Kennedy?
That's the benefit of being president. You
would,
get all these
I would
top
run just
secrets.
Because I want to go, hey, there's eight things I really need to know. Tell me these eight things. But don't you think, like, one of the presidents at some point when they told him that, he's like, oh, okay, that's, wow, I didn't expect that. And then he says to other people, now I know what happened with Kennedy. Listen to this.
Right.
Like, word would get out, right?
Yeah. They wouldn't be able to keep that secret.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I could never be an FBI agent. See, I am the worst secret keeper on the planet.
I am too, Kim. You and I are bad.
Not good.
Thank you for hanging out. That's Kim
it was
Morgan.
Worth the wait, wasn't it?
It was worth the wait.
It was worth the wait. All right, we'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Good night, until we meet again. Adios, au revoir, I'll be the same till then. And though it's always sweet sorrow to part, you know you'll always remain in my heart.
Oh.
That's sweet.
That's the nicest part of that song, Wendy, right there. Because they're right. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed yourselves.
I did.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I did work kind of hard today.
Yeah, today you did, yeah.
Wow, you yep. even noticed.
I did. Yep. What about tomorrow, Wendy? Same thing?
Probably not.
Nope, not as hard tomorrow. Join us then. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.